So here you go.
He's gotten hit throughout the rest of the game, and it's hurting more now.
Bumps down to one last play. And it's going to be getting longer by the second. You're all the way back at the 30-yard line. Now you can step into it. Here comes the Hail Mary with the game on the line. And the ball is caught! Caught! It's a miracle! It's Noah Brown! Oh, my goodness! This town is going crazy. That's a madhouse in Landover, Maryland.
He did it.
There are no words. This is what Jim Nance said after Jaden Daniels successfully launched a game-winning Hail Mary. He did that after the Bears took their first lead of the game after trailing for 59 minutes and 35 seconds. And in that moment, when the Bears took the lead, we all thought the Bears have no business winning this game. And then the improbable happens. Having been foreshadowed all game by talk and highlights of Caleb Williams' game-winning Hail Mary during his high school days in D.C. In Caleb Williams' homecoming game, the Bears' defense held and held and held all the way until that last fateful play. The offense as a whole sputtered, with Swift as a bright spot sprinkled in there. In the end, the Bears had no business winning that game. And then I received a text to record an emergency podcast. The Bears lose to the Commanders and are now 4-3. So as we record this emergency podcast on a late, late Sunday evening, what did we learn about the Bears this week?
So yeah, we needed to have an emergency podcast because that was a ridiculous game. I think what we learned, a couple things, is that the Bears can still Bears and absolutely just rip our hearts out. That felt like a double doink game to me. After I watched that, I felt like I did after the double doink Eagles game, of just disbelief of what just happened. It was, like you said, it was the Bears went from winning a game they had no business winning to losing a game they had no business losing in a matter of a minute. And that is the most Bears thing that I can think of.
That game was like so much nothing for so long. Like,
yeah,
the offense did nothing. The defense kept Washington from doing anything. And then in the last 30-ish seconds of a game, everything.
So look, I'm going to, you know how I like to play both sides, right? And I'm going to give you a little bit of positive, because I feel like we always need to do that on this show, right? Hey, look, the Bears are 4-3 with a rookie quarterback. Cool. All right, that's it. I'm done with the positive. That was the worst. The first half of that game was the worst half of football the Bears have played. Worse than the Tennessee game. They just looked out of sorts. Caleb was awful, you know, for three quarters of that game. The offensive line was really bad. Shane Waldron was really bad. It was just nothing to get you excited about anything. Washington, I mean, the defense held them to field goals, but how many touchdowns got called back or were not completed, right? The Zach Ertz one could have been either way. Yeah. They had an illegal man downfield. Jaden Daniels' receivers were dropping balls too. And you're just like, wow, the Bears are so lucky that it's only like 9-0. You know, they should –
yeah,
they should be way out of it.
I'm like watching that game being like, when does the defense break? Because it was like they stopped. But yeah, and it just kept sticking around. So then when they kind of like, they got the lead at the end, I was like, this is very crazy.
It was not good. I mean, like I said, Caleb was actually pretty terrible for three quarters. I know he got spun around. That one play that stood out to me was he got spun around. He's trying to scramble for the first, and then he dives like a yard before the first down.
Yeah.
Happen. I'm like, what are you doing, man? You need to fight for that extra yard. And I'm like, he probably didn't even know where he was. He's
It
just like
seemed
spinning
like he.
around and discombobulated.
It didn't seem like he. Because if I. Man, I have to watch the replay again, or Sagar will text us the replay. But I feel like he was like landed
Podcast
the.
app.
He landed the other way when he went to the ground. Like, I think he was like actually, yeah, a little, yeah, discombobulated from where he was on the
I
field.
think he looked nervous and overwhelmed, right? He wasn't playing on time. He was airmailing a bunch of passes. He's holding the ball forever. I mean, Washington secondary is supposed to not be good, right? They're like in that high 20s, low 30s in terms of pass rank defense. And I don't know if nobody was open or if he was just the timing was off, but he was holding on to the ball and then scrambling. It felt like Fields, right? Where you're like, throw the ball before you get like sacked or something. And then he got sacked on that one that took us out of field goal range,
Yeah, no
which
good.
was just bad. It's just bad all around, you know. And then Waldron again, like doing very predictable shit in the beginning, and then he mixes it up with wildly unpredictable shit later on. And you're like, bro, find a medium. You know, the first play of the game, it's like, oh, we're gonna run it up the middle, and then we're gonna have an incomplete pass, and then throw a wide receiver screen. Oh wow, we haven't done that every single game so far. So bro goes from that to, hey, we should hand it off to an offensive lineman, you know, when we really badly need points. Like, what is he doing? It was I didn't understand it. I don't think he knows what he's doing. It doesn't feel like the Bears have any sort of offensive identity or game plan or things that they scheme up. It's just like, well, we're gonna try what we always do, and then when that doesn't work, because it never works, you know, the first two drives, then we're gonna start doing some crazy ass shit. And sometimes the crazy ass shit works, like in the I don't forget if it was the Jacksonville or Carolina game with the double fake, right? And then the
Oh,
pass to Kmet, and you're like, oh wow, that was cool. That was some crazy ass shit that worked. And
yeah.
then he does crazy ass shit that doesn't work. Like, let's hand it off to an offensive lineman who doesn't know how to hold the ball and just bounces off his chest and flies around. You're like, come on, man. Like, what are we doing? And then he's calling like the two QB draws in a row at the end of the game.
Yeah,
He's just,
why?
what are you doing with that? Like, I don't understand what you're
You know
doing,
when you
man.
hear announcers being like, "Why are you doing that?" Like,
Yeah.
because sometimes they'll, I guess they'll try and find. Yeah, when you hear they are discombobulated a little bit, people who have seen and watched and they're like, what the fuck is even going on? That's like, okay, maybe that's not. Caleb isn't like they. He's not like, I had one of my notes was that both of these quarterbacks are so elusive. It's like ridiculous. And like Jaden Daniels is like so elusive. But like Caleb isn't like, he runs and he's capable, but he doesn't seem like it's like
He's not gonna break a like a 40-yard touchdown run, right? But
He's
he did have, I mean, you saw it in the fourth quarter and
tons
like
of
the second half where he was spinning out of some sacks and he kept plays alive. Like, he is very, very good at that. And he's gonna get better at it. I mean, he took a bad sack in this game, but you know, the offensive line wasn't doing him any favors. They had a ton of penalties. They had a guys go down, right? Braxton Jones goes down. They bring in Kieran Amagaji, and man, that guy looked like he was not ready to play. Even Tony Romo was like calling him out on t national television and be like, ooh, that's another miss for
Now
72.
I wrote that he was struggling after Tony Romo said this dude's having a bad day, but he did have a very important block on that Swift. So I was like, I do want him to know that we saw that, but yes, it wasn't going well for him.
It was a rough go. And I think if Braxton is out for an extended period of time, that's going to, I don't know what they're going to do at left tackle. They have Larry Borum coming back, and he's played left tackle before. He's their traditional swing tackle, who I thought was actually going to get cut with the when they drafted Kieran. But, you know, Kieran's not ready, and he didn't look that way this game. Now, granted, he got thrown into the fire, didn't really get a lot of reps, right? Who knows if he has a full week of practice. But yeah, Brax went down, Jenkins went down. Bill Murray went down. Like, we were like really struggling on that offensive line, and it really showed. The pass protection was very bad. And you know, I don't know. I feel like Shane Waldron didn't really help Caleb with a lot of that. He's just, you know, I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what he feels like is the strength of this team. I don't know what he feels like is plays that he's like, I know these plays are gonna work. These are my go-tos. Like, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, he has go-tos, the wide receiver screen. It's just not a play that works. So I don't really understand it. Throwing it on fourth down to DJ Moore was just, what are you doing? What are we doing?
I think DJ Moore's trying to get a face mask call or something. He seemed pretty like upset, but like
Yeah.
I just yeah, I kind of felt like So we talked. So there's two kind of primary things. One, I was watching the game being like, what is Washington doing that's making us look like shit? And I don't know yet really what they were doing. I mean, I guess our offensive line was struggling, but like from are our wide receivers open coverage? I know there were a
Yeah.
couple times where Caleb, like you said, held up too long,
Caleb
maybe.
missed some throws, and to Shane's credit a little bit, he did scheme sometimes some people open that Caleb just missed. You know, he missed Keenan on a couple throws, and he missed Cole in the middle a couple times. So there was some schemes where he was open. Caleb was just not good for 3 quarters, and then he was good, really good in the fourth quarter,
Yeah.
and you know, to the point where it's like, oh my God, we've taken a lead, and
Yeah.
how did he even get here? And then we let that up. And we need to talk about number 29, because number 29 had a really bad game. That's Tyrique Stevenson.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Yeah, he got burned by Terry in the first half on that 61-yard completion. Burned by Terry McLaurin. He has a boneheaded personal foul penalty because he's chirping.
He poked a
And
dude in the face, right? Is that the one? Yeah.
And then homeboy continues to chirp on the final Hail Mary play. Did you see this video?
No.
Okay. So for the listening audience, I'm sure you guys have seen it by now, or you will by the time you listen to this podcast. I think it's a Commanders fan in the stands is taking a video of the Hail Mary. And you see Tyrique Stevenson jawing with the fans, chirping with the fans when the ball is hiked. His back is to the play, and he's yelling at fans in the stand while Daniels is scrambling around, trying to make a throw. So you know how that took a long time for him to actually make the throw. So then by the time Stevenson re-engages in the play, the ball's in the air. And then Stevenson runs back to where all the action is. And then he's the one that tips it straight backwards to Noah Brown.
Oh
And
no.
Watch the video. It is infuriating.
Because he had a nice, he
Infuriating.
was the one that had his hand on the ball on Ertz, right? For the touchdown that
He
didn't
did.
count. Yeah.
Yeah. But this guy, while the play's happening, is talking to the fans on the most important play of the game. And then he's the one that, I don't know if he's trying to make a one-handed catch or what he was doing, but he like tips it straight up and backwards, and there's nobody back there. It's a Hail Mary. You have to worry about one thing, is somebody catching the ball in the end zone.
Yeah.
And the ball got to the end zone, and nobody from the Chicago Bears defense was in there in the end zone, like
No.
with this guy.
The
What are
man
we
had it.
doing?
Yeah.
What are we doing? And the play right before that, the Commanders were far back enough where they couldn't throw a Hail Mary from where they were when
Yeah.
there was 12 seconds left in the game. So
Yeah.
why are you giving him 15-yard out? Why are you doing that?
Yeah.
Make him throw in the middle of the field, because he
Romo said it.
can't.
Romo said, "You're too far to throw a Hail Mary. Get 15 yards. You'll get it in 4 seconds, and then do
Yeah.
another or
Why
ten
are
or
you
fifteen or
letting him get
whatever."
those 15 yards? Make him throw it in the middle of the field. That's what he's gonna have to do, and that's gonna become the lateral drill, which never works. And I don't know, they just really, really botched that.
Do you think
And on
that's
the
a?
left,
Go ahead, sorry.
well, that's coaching for sure. And it's everything, man. Like, it's so bad. Every time I say nice things about this coaching staff, I feel like they do stupid shit, and then they did stupid shit.
Well, okay, so my question was kind of from that play was no Kyler Gordon, no Brisker, right?
Yes,
So like two
yes.
sort of big important like players. Some had last week said some of their favorite players
Yep.
missed in there. So that's like a big presence because Stevenson
Stevenson
is
starts. He's a starting
yeah.
corner. Kyler
Okay.
Gordon's a nickel. And I actually think they missed Kyler Gordon quite a bit
Yeah.
because he does a lot of their blitzing from the secondary. And he is fast and he is aggressive. And I think he has the athleticism to bring Daniels down, to chase him from behind, to like contain, right? Daniels was just running past our linebackers. TJ Edwards like stood there and like didn't know
Yeah,
what to do. He
I
was
mean, he
like
got smoked.
straight
He
juked,
got,
right?
but I mean, Montez did good. Actually, I
Montez
wanted
did
to,
good.
if we would have won,
Montez, who
go ahead. No, sorry, please.
wasn't on the field for the final play for some reason. Like, what do you no Montez, no Daryl Taylor, no Austin Booker. These are probably your three best pass rushers, and none of them are on the field for your last Hail Mary. What are you even doing at that point? Are you like, then just drop more people into coverage. Like, if you're not going to be serious about pressuring him by not having your best pass rushers out there, why TJ Edwards is just standing around as a linebacker? He's guarding the middle of the field for what reason? Like, why is he there? It was
Yeah.
just stupid all around. And I think the coaching staff just like they're just like forever stubborn with their stupid, and they just like won't change it. I don't know. It was just very frustrating. I mean, like I said, they almost won a game that they were outplayed for majority of the game. So it's really hard to be like, oh, we should have won that one, but we should have. I mean,
Yeah.
it's ridiculous. You know who was good though? Torrey Taylor. Torrey Taylor was really good.
Yeah.
That
And
guy was
yeah.
booming punts. So I got to give a shout out to Torrey Taylor.
Yeah, for sure. And then yeah, Swift had an awesome game. He had another 100 yards, another TD. Well, I think they said four games in a
Yeah,
row. Like
yeah.
that was as I was telling you before we started, that was going to be an important part of my monologue had they won, was the game changed when it was nothing for basically 3 quarters until he broke that run, you know?
I wonder. It's interesting that we did the Pulse of the People after the Jaguars game. I wonder what it would look like after this Washington game.
Well, that's
If
something that I find so interesting about football too, is like every week is such a different emotion. We could do a pulse of the people in between every game, and you'd get like kind of a like it would be up and down depending on how like good they did.
I mean, we try to stay even. Look, I mean, progress isn't linear, right? Caleb is not going to have a great game every single game of his career, right?
Yeah.
Especially in his first season. There's going to be some stinkers, and this was a stinker. Granted, he didn't turn the ball over, which is good. You know, he was under duress quite a bit. It felt a little like the Texan game, but it shouldn't have because Washington is a much worse defense, and I'm still confused on how they, as like a whole unit, took a step backwards. But I don't know, man. It's just tough too, because I felt like they should have been better out of the bye week. You know, they talk about the scripted plays coming out fast. You had 2 weeks to put that garbage out there.
Yeah,
But
they came
that's
out with
discouraging.
same shit as before. Like, you know, yeah.
Plus is now 3-17 in road games. 3-17. Like, you can't, that's not sustainable.
That's not good.
That's not good.
Oh
In
my
fact, some would say it's bad.
Yeah, some would say it's bad. I think we've been talking about like we want to see progression modestly, or at least like not regression or whatever. And this sort of seems like we ha as the last couple weeks that we'd been like exponentially growing Caleb, the team. It's like the defense maintains consistency, has kind of sort of confusingly big fuck ups that are not really like present. They don't really like make mistakes like that, I guess, so that we've seen so far. So they have that at the end. But overall, just rock solid consistent. But like this seems like we played like we had sort of forgotten some of the good stuff that had happened over the last few weeks. Like they were progressing so nicely.
I mean, look, the Commanders scored 31 points per game, and the defense held them, barring the Hail Mary, right, to 12 or something, right? I
Yeah.
mean, so they did a good job. They just like, I just don't know what Tyrique Stevenson's doing at the end of the game, talking to the fans and yelling at them while the Hail Mary is happening, and you can't even see what's going on, and you run to the pile of people like way too late. It's just a really, really bad look. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets benched or something for like a half or a game, because Terrell Smith is back and he's healthy now, and he's a solid corner in the fact that they have different styles. Stevenson is more aggressive, more of like a ball hawk, more of a ball puncher, more of a big play kind of guy. But he'll give up plays as well. Terrell Smith is a little bit more solid in coverage. He's a little longer too, but he's not as aggressive, I don't think. So he won't, you know, he's not gonna like make diving interception something. He's more of like a pass breakup kind of guy.
Got you.
But he's still capable, I think, of playing your second corner spot. So I don't know. I'd be interested to see if Luce does anything with number 29. But that was a it was a really it was a pretty bad game for him.
Yeah. What kind of a, yeah, sort of a dizzying, weird feeling at the end, because it
It
was like
was.
boring and then it exploded and then it was over. You're like, I was still kind of writing notes on my phone, like, as it's all happening, sort of screaming to myself, and then it's like, yeah, they just
The
got their
narrative
head.
has changed. Can you believe like how different that one play? I mean, like, if the Bears had just not let them convert a 60-yard Hail Mary pass, We wouldn't have this emergency pod, first of all, right? And the tone would still be way different. Be like, oh, they found a way to win. They were so bad, but they're resilient and the coaching staff and everything's great. And it's like one play, and all of a sudden, it changes the whole narrative of
Dude,
everything.
well, absolutely. Yeah, I was thinking like this is what a team that's gonna go far does is you win the games that you're not really supposed to win and you find a way. And yeah, that is the you football in a nutshell, narratives change in seconds.
I mean, the good thing for the Bears is they've got Arizona and New England, who, I mean, I'm not gonna, the Bears can play however well or poorly on any given week. So I'm not gonna say those are W's, but those are games that they'll have a chance to win. Those are games that they should be competitive in and put themselves in position to get a victory. And if you do that, 6-3 is a good spot, right? Even if you split them 5-4, it's still a decent spot, right? So there's still some stuff to build on, but man, that schedule is going to get really hard because they have all their division games and everybody in their division is pretty good.
I
So
think the Lions scored 52 points today.
they
So
did, yeah, they
that's
did.
rough.
So that's going to be fun. But you know what? Like, we got to remember to take the ebbs and the flows, right? The Ebers and the Fluces, as we like to say. Today was a fluce.
Today
Wait,
was a
was it a
fluce,
fluce or an
yeah.
Eber? Which one's the bad one?
Oh, Ebb. Ebb is the bad one, right?
Oh, okay. So it's
Ebb.
yeah, Eb is the bad, flow is the good. Okay, so this was an Eber. We had an Eber today.
It
We sucked. We pulled an Eber out of the jaws of a fluce.
was an Eber. Okay, so any final thoughts on this game? Any other last little shout outs? Anything else that we need for?
Set it on fire. You know
Yeah.
what? For me, and I've talked about this, I think ad nauseum, is I was not a Flus guy. I think he's a good defensive coordinator. I don't think he has what it takes to be a head coach. Maybe if this is one of the things that gets him replaced at the end of the season, maybe it's not such a bad thing, right?
Yeah.
I think Poles likes Flus, and if it's just like kind of status quo and he has some boneheaded plays, but the talent on the roster is just so good to kind of overcome some of that, maybe Flus survives. But if he like just like does dumb stuff and like can't doesn't know what he's doing on a Hail Mary or with like 12 seconds left in the game, how to properly field a defense to like ensure this doesn't happen, things
Yeah.
like that, if it leads to a coaching change and we get an offensive minded coach and like somebody that can really coach Caleb and teach him how to play quarterback, it could be a long-term win. Maybe he's playing chess, not checkers or something.
Yeah.
One of those things. I don't know.
Yeah.
Final thoughts though, they got Kyler Murray next week, who is kind of Jaden Daniels-esque in terms of his skill set. Jaden Daniels burned the Bears linebackers on 3rd and 8s, right? 3rd and 9s. He scrambled for 10, 11, 12 yards to keep the play alive. Kyler Murray is very, very capable of doing that. So hopefully they learned a little bit on how to play against that type of quarterback and can apply it. The Arizona Cardinals team is very similar to Washington's team. I'd say that they're, I mean, not as good and probably a little bit more hot and cold, but they have a more experienced quarterback. And so I don't know. We'll see. Can't take anything for granted.
Yeah. Damn. All right. Well, for Samir Patel, I'm Chirag Rator. This was an emergency episode of Bears in the Neighborhood, and we will catch y'all next week.
Try and get some sleep, everyone.